Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, just me at the top of the show to do a bit of housekeeping, so let's get this out of the way right away. So, exciting news, so that Comedy Republic show that got postponed, we have a date, so March 6th. So if you had a ticket for the one that got postponed, I can't remember the date, bring it along, come along. It's an awesome lineup, not the same lineup as before because not everyone was available, but it's going to be lots of fun. The lineup's always great, just trust me, it's going to be great. So that is March 6th, Saturday at 4 o'clock. At the Comedy Republic, so make sure you get a ticket. Go to joshua.com.au for all the tickets. For anything I'm going to say today, that's where you go. So there's that one. There's also the Comedy Festival podcasts on sale. A season pass for only $50. And thanks to everyone who's been taking up that offer because there's not that many left. So get in quick. I looked at what I was in 2019 and way more season passes already sold than the entire season for that one. So don't dawdle. It's going to be lots and lots of fun. Some very good lineups already. I can tell. These are the names who have confirmed, okay? I'm only doing four shows. Ross Noble, Nina Oyama, Luke Heggie, Tommy Dasilo. It's going to be fun. Make sure you come along. Those are Sundays at the European Beer Cafe, 6 p.m. So a bit later, which is good because it means you can go and see another show after that and, not have to do that awkward waiting around in the city for a while. So do that. Also, Ben Lomas is going to talk at the end of this show about our show, apparently, which is on at the Imperial Hotel. Make sure you get a ticket to that one as well. That'll be lots of fun. And also, everyone who's been coming on board the Patreon, thank you so much. It's had a bit of a bump. My plan is I want to get 500 Patreon subscribers for the end of the year. That'll be great. That means I can quit all my outside jobs and just focus on doing the podcast and comedy. Oh, the dream. Anyway, so go to patreon.com/dykwia, whole bunch of top fives up there, which is you might get the previews on the Fridays. They're always fun. Go and listen to the entire thing. Really, really good stuff. That's all I need to say. Enjoy this episode. The story at about 58 minutes, incredible. That's all I'm going to say. One of the best stories that's ever been on this podcast. That's all I need to say. 5 stars on iTunes if you can. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. See you after this music. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Joshua, and this week I discovered I share my name with an English YouTuber who so far has posted 10 videos all in the last 2 weeks, all of him playing the game Warzone with his friends Harrison Sian. S-I-A-N? Is that Sian? Sean? Sian? I don't know.
Sean. Yep.
Sian. Okay. Well, look, they don't really talk to each other during it, but they seem to be having fun. Now, in 2020, I would have made fun of this, Josh Earl, but in 2021, you do you, Josh. Whatever gets you through lockdown. You're doing fine. Hey, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, what I do, I get four very funny people, and I quiz them all about their lives, so let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with an audio engineer in Melbourne who works at a place called Cool Tracks with an X. Can you please welcome from the Like Minded Friends podcast, it is Tom Allen.
Yay. Hi, Josh. I think I've met guy as well. I think I've met that Tom Allen.
Tom Allen, yeah. When you were in Melbourne last year, maybe he came out to the show. He went, I'm going to go see the person with my name.
Well, I had to record a voiceover and they did it down the line when I was in Australia. Wow. I think if he's the guy who wears dungarees, does he wear dungarees?
He didn't put that on his LinkedIn profile.
You wouldn't though, would you? That's the last thing you'd put. That's almost the opposite of what LinkedIn's there for. It's there to disguise your dungaree wearing.
Mm-hmm. Our next guest is a first-timer to the podcast. She shares her name with a clinical therapist at a juvenile detention centre in San Bernardino. But the one we have here is from the big film Buffet. It is Susie Youssef. Yay!
Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Susie.
How you going?
Good. San Bernardino, that's a... Like, I've heard of that jail. So that's a big one. I didn't know they had a juvenile detention centre there.
I thought they were the people that made sparkling water.
Oh, is it?
No. That's all right.
Welcome to the podcast, Susie. You haven't been on before.
I haven't. I'm so excited. I love this podcast. So thank you for having me.
You've been booked for a live show, but we didn't quite make it work.
Oh, yes.
That was many years ago, though.
Many years ago. Sorry for disappointing you, Josh.
It's all right. No, it's good. It's good. I like new people. Also joining us is another first timer to the podcast. They share their name with a recruitment team leader in Sheffield. Can you please welcome from the You'll Do pod, it is Sarah Keyworth. Yay.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me. I actually only agreed to this because I thought it was the other Tom Allen. Grossly disappointed.
Have you been to Sheffield, Sarah? Have you met this other Sarah Keyworth?
I haven't been to Sheffield, no, and I've never met another Sarah Keyworth, but sometimes they do message me on social media.
Have you never been to, you've never been to Sheffield?
Yeah, I've been to Sheffield, but okay. I have not met Sarah. Right.
Literally, you've never been to me. Is that what you're going to, it sounded like the song. I've been to Sheffield, but I've never been to me.
I've never found myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Sheffield is paradise, Tom. I've been there. I've spent 24 hours there. It's not the best place.
Well, you've got to give it more than 24 hours, Josh. That's not fair.
I was very hungover there, to be honest. I clogged someone's bathroom sink.
Oh. That wasn't a hangover. That's just Sheffield.
And finally is another first-timer to the podcast. She shares her name in pronunciation only with a woman from Shillong whose Facebook says she's in an open relationship. Can you please welcome from Taskmaster New Zealand or the film Baby Done, it is Angela Dravid. Yay!
Hey.
Yeah, so I couldn't find another Angela with... two L's.
Yeah, I think that's a typo.
Oh, your parents did a typo?
Yeah, I think because my parents have English as a second language, and I think it was a mistake. Yeah. But it sucks because both my names look like typos. Dravid looks like David. My dad's name is David.
David Dravid?
Yeah.
That's good. I like that name.
Yeah, but it looks like David Dravid.
There's a politician in WA who's called Gary Gray, and spelt G-A-R-Y-G-R-A-Y, and it looks like he's dyslexic and colorblind. It's great. All right. Our first game today is called Social Me Media. In this round, I'm going to read out a status by the four of you, and you have to buzz in and tell me who you think tweeted it. Your names are your buzzers. If you get it correctly, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person actually wrote the tweet, they get the point. So you can't buzz in for your own ones. Poker faces on. You can't lose points is what I'm saying, Tom.
Okay, fine. Yes? I just had a question of sometimes I can't remember some of my social media. I mean, to my inevitable downfall, I can't always remember what I put on social media. So is that bad?
No, that's fine. That's probably I'm
amazed that I don't do more drunk tweeting. It really is a miracle.
Yeah. If you're buzzing for your own ones, the listeners will know what'll happen. So don't worry about it. It's fine. Okay. All right. Question one. Some guys come like they've stubbed their toe in a library.
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
This is a solid guess. Every comedic bone in my body wants to say Tom Allen, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to guess Angela.
Are correct. Yes. Yes. That is a point there for Sarah. Yes.
Wow.
Well,
that's
done.
Really yeah. The sense of what kind of vibe you give off. This is the first. Yeah. This is the second time Angela and I have met on Zoom.
Wow, I didn't realise they gave off that vibe.
You have got shelves behind you. Are you actually in a library, Angela?
No, but I do shelf.
I do.
Oh, right. I see what you did there. Yeah. No. Is that yeah. No,
I very much like this guy because I remember many years ago a comedian. I can't remember who the comedian was. But they were saying what women hate most about having sex with men, and it's like silence and then just the ugh. That's the worst thing.
What is that?
Just they don't say anything. Okay. They don't say anything for however long they're doing it. From the two
they just
to
make any type of noise.
15 minutes. Yeah, and then they say nothing and then just ugh. That's it. That's all they do.
In America, Americans make a lot of noise.
So I'm not missing out on anything, is what you're saying.
What's different in America?
Well, not that I'm hugely experienced, but every time I've been there, I notice they love to make a song and dance about it all. It's like, come on.
You're not auditioning for a musical. The end was different.
But in a way.
I found the actors are very vocal. It's kind of like they're doing that me exercises at the same time.
I guess. Saves time, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Two words.
Just down there saying Irish wristwatch on it. All right. Question two. A great way to reduce the signs of aging and cover those pesky bags under your eyes from many sleepless nights worrying about aging is just to hold something up in front of your aging face. You're welcome.
Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I feel like that's the sort of, I want to say world-weary comment that someone like Sarah Keyworth would make.
Well, you would be incorrect. That is actually Susie Eustace.
I was
going to
say Susie.
Something I would tweet, but I'd never use the word pesky.
My mistake, Susie. But you're not aging at all.
All right, fuck off, Tom.
I've got great lighting.
Sarah, on the other hand,
Sarah is haggard.
Sarah's 17. You could be 17. Actually,
Sarah, you look 17.
You could be 17.
I do. Yeah, it's true.
We're all doing great.
That's a humble brag as well.
And then Angela, we're looking good too, right?
You all look amazing.
Great.
I just woke up, so.
And yet you look amazing. From a nightmare as well. It turns out nightmare sleep is your perfect sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we all look good. We're on a podcast.
Yeah. The listeners can't see us. We look amazing. Someone posted last night an old photo of me from 16 years ago from the comedy festival. And I used to think, oh yeah, I've aged okay. And then I look at that, and my eyes have just I've aged so much. It's.
No, you haven't, Josh.
That's hard to agree with when we're looking at you right now.
I'm not saying I look bad. I'm just saying, in 2005, oh, amazing.
You're not saying you look bad. You're just fishing for compliments now because you obviously look good.
Yeah, no, last week you said you had two children, and I was like, this is a teenage pregnancy.
I turned 40 this year.
Josh, I did cut out for quite a while there. Should I change my internet situation? Or did you not notice?
We didn't notice.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll all see right. how we go.
Okay, question...
No, I'm back.
You look good for 40 as well.
Thank you. I will be very soon. Three months. I know. 3 months' time.
Wow.
I'll be 40.
Tom Allen just threw up in his own mouth.
Yeah.
All right. 40.
Tom Allen's mouth just became a sink in Sheffield.
Question three. Autocorrect is out of control. Just wrote authoritative and it changed it to author's tits. I'm clearly not author's tits enough.
Susie.
Yes, Susie.
That sounds like Tom Allen.
You are correct. Another point there for Susie, yes.
When did I put that up? I was thinking, that sounds witty. Who writes that? Where did that? I don't remember putting that.
I think it was like about 7 years ago.
God, I thought I deleted all those tweets from back then.
Did a heavy scroll then, Josh.
Josh does some heavy scrolling.
Yeah, deep diving.
It's very easy. You just put in the dates of when you want to search from. And most of the times I want to search from is before Trump was elected, when Twitter was actually funny.
Twitter was fun then, wasn't it? Just a few recipes fun, and... did something fun
Question
today.
Question four. I just want to hear a motivating story of how someone procrastinated their way through life and achieved happiness.
Susie?
Yes, Susie.
Sarah Keyworth?
No, that's Angela Dravid.
Yeah. I don't
want to hear
any
of that.
It's dick jokes and then the thoughtful stuff.
You swing
wildly between dick stuff and pensive material.
Can you do both? Can you merge the two? Thoughtful dick stuff.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of thoughtful dick stuff.
That's the genre everybody needs. That's like the last genre, if anything.
The last frontier of genre merging.
Yeah, I think so. Right, I'd buy it.
I think that might have been like just before the dick. I was just like, oh, maybe no, go straight to dick jokes. Yeah.
Question five. There's a fine line between bougie and breakdown, and I think I found it when I put sun-dried tomatoes on crumpets this morning.
Angela.
Yes, Angela.
That's definitely Sarah.
That is Sarah, yes, you're correct, yes.
Yeah, I did do that, and I tell you what, it was delicious.
Well, I can't imagine the, like, acidity of the sun-dried tomatoes on a crumpet.
Oh, it's the fat content of the butter. And then the acid of the tomato.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Angela.
Was right there butter there as me. Well then? There was butter and tomato?
Course. Yeah. Oh. Not gonna lie, the tomato was not planned.
Yeah.
So I got buttery crumpets and then I lost my shit.
Yeah. Did you put salt on the tomato?
No, I didn't salt it. I wasn't trying to die.
Have you been cooking much in lockdown? Is this like, are you experimenting with different flavours and different like recipes? Is this something you've been doing, Sarah?
No, that was approximately 10 days after my breakup. So,
oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'd say that was peak depressed. And I decided to document it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Could have put some basil on it and made an English pizza.
Oh, that would have been a great name for it as well.
But
finally, something culinary we can be proud of.
Crumpet anglaise.
That's going to be in a restaurant in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be fuming.
I think I got food poisoning from a sun-dried tomato in like 1998, and I haven't had one since 1998.
Susie, tell us this story.
Yeah. What could go wrong with a sun-dried tomato?
Well, I think it's that all the oils that it sits in, if something goes a little bit funny with that oil, then it can really affect you.
Rancid
anyway, it probably
oil.
Wasn't that. It could have been anything. It could have just been a flutter of anxiety, and then I just, you know.
Blamed the tomato.
And for about 7 years, Susie, you'd have had real trouble finding food in a restaurant because sun-dried tomatoes were in everything, or semi-dried tomatoes were in everything.
Yes.
And now you don't really see them that much.
No, which is good because I don't have to face my fears.
Or constantly vomit every time you went out to eat.
Like in the year 2000, like a focaccia with semi-dried tomatoes and salami or ham was all the rage in Launceston.
Oh yeah.
All right, next question.
It does sound delicious, to be fair.
Reading a newspaper on the train, like eating chips, so much nicer when it's someone else's.
Susie.
Yes, Susie.
Tom Allen.
That is correct. That is Tom Allen. Yes, put there for Susie. Yes.
God, I was good on Twitter in the old days, wasn't I? Kind of like, I could have gone on a greetings card.
And but you could also tell this one was quite an old one because it actually was a newspaper. Like, not just, everyone's scrolling on their phones.
And also a train, which.
Yeah. Pre lockdown.
Yeah. Oh.
But
so much old language in that tweet.
Yeah.
Also chips, who eats them?
Who's eating carbohydrates anymore?
What is someone else?
Question 7. Insomnia has its perks. It actually doesn't, but this morning was beautiful.
Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I feel, based on our conversations already, I feel like that's an Angela.
No, that's a Susie Yusuf.
What?
Yeah.
I feel like I want to look at you, Susie Wins.
I want to connect it to the bags now.
Yeah.
The bags comment.
The bags under my eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have it, but just I can see your mind.
I can see the bags.
Now, Susie, I should, for the listener, it is 7:24 in the morning right now for me and Susie. For Angela, it's 9:24. For you other two, it's nighttime yesterday. Are you morning people? And this goes for everyone. Is everyone a morning person or not?
I would say I'm like a morning person. MOURNING.
Yeah, okay.
Really.
Tom Allen never gets out of bed.
Tom would love.
Wears a veil.
Yeah, just dressing up. You get the black suit on.
Yeah, I'm there. Top hat.
He looks so good.
Miss Havisham of the comedy world.
He's always carrying some lilies.
Yeah, where's the veil to hide the smile? Because he knows how good he looks. It's like, this is...
Yeah, I love it.
I actually think one of those hats with a veil would really suit you, Tom.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Jaunty to the side? Is that one of those ones? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd like that. I think popular in the Moulin Rouge era.
Yes. Yeah.
But you've got such a good-shaped head. I would leave that.
Oh, thanks, Angela. Oh, thanks. Yeah. A lot of people say I look a bit like an egg.
An egg.
But
it's a compliment. egg-shaped face is quite good because it's got a, you know, heart shape, a sweetheart sort of chin.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, the only time I think about the shape of my face is if I'm trying on sunglasses. So there's been no need to do that for a while. No sun shopping, no shops. So, but thank you.
Are you a morning person, Angela?
No, definitely not.
Oh, thank you for getting up to do this then.
Oh, I do get up if I'm in someone else's bed.
Yeah.
Definitely a morning person then.
Hang on, am I in a library?
Yeah.
Are you okay? What happened to your toe?
All right. Next question. Said to my goddaughter that she could use this time to learn to tie her shoelaces, and she stared me down and said, "I'll tie my shoelaces when I'm dead."
Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Is that Susie?
No, that is Sarah Keyworth. I put there for Sarah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kid is
it's a true story.
Definitely in mourning.
How old is this kid?
She's 10 now, and I think that was a couple of years ago. So yeah, around 8.
It's hard to respond to that.
She has incredible quotes over the years. She once looked me dead in the eyes and called me a dickhead because I told her she wasn't allowed to pee in the bath. And at that point she was like 6, and I was like, that's funny, but I have to be angry at you right now.
You can't stop it from happening though, can you?
No. Fantastic. Yeah. I just had to try and not approve.
Yeah. I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. I remember when my 9-year-old was like 2 or 3. We were in the bath. It happened in the bath. I think kids get quite, you know, thoughtful in the bath. And he just looked at me and said, "Dad, when you're dead, I'll be sad because all the songs in your head will disappear." And I was like, oh my God, good night. Oof.
Wow.
Christ.
Yeah.
Well, when kids are cynical, it makes you really question what's the point of living.
Yeah.
And I was doing that anyway.
It sounds like song lyrics. That's so beautiful.
I know. And now he's giving me the finger all the time. So, you know, they grow out of it.
What songs are in your head? Are they songs that you...
I used to sing him songs, like sing him songs to bed, like, and I wrote a show about, I did a kid show, and it was called Oliver Up a Tree, and I wrote it about him, and I promised my youngest one I'd write a show about him, but I haven't done that yet. Whoops.
Do you write the songs down just for when you die?
Yes, it's all in a script, so he can find it. Yeah, it's on Bandcamp. I should have said it's on Bandcamp, mate. You can buy it for $5 if you want. All the songs are there.
You also you have to write that show for the other kid, or you're going to.
I was just
life.
Thinking, like, you may as well just pay for the therapy now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where was my show, Dad? Where was my show?
Well, the money I saved not doing a show and having to cancel due to COVID, I put in a fund, and you can use that now. You could either go to therapy or go traveling. Your choice. Question 9. Whenever I say an anal joke on stage, everyone tenses up, which is annoying because you've got to relax to enjoy it.
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Susie.
No, that was Angela.
Damn it. I my instinct was Angela, but I didn't want to just immediately assume that Angela was doing sex stuff again. But I should just go with my gut.
Yes, exactly. If this show teaches you nothing, it's stereotypes are there. Like, just, there you go.
I wish that I had said that.
It's a great joke.
It is a good tweet.
I want to know, did that tweet get the response on social media that it deserved?
I think it got like 300 likes or something. I don't have a big Twitter following. Yeah. Yeah.
So well, maybe after this, listeners of the show, go in, find, just type that into Twitter search, and then give it a retweet and a like. We'll see if the Don't You Know Who I Am bump will get this up.
People want to like it, but they don't want to admit that they've had anal, which is kind of like, you've taken a shit, well, you've done anal.
I like the idea that so many people would like Google the wording of that anal joke that it would in some way trend somewhere.
Tense anal hashtag trending.
And this one was from Instagram. It's the last one for this round, and it's got a picture, so don't buzz until I read what the picture says. It says, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen at a service station, and I once saw a guy drop a toddler in a bin, and it's a sign that says it starts when you sink in his arms and ends with your arms in the sink." It was like a bumper sticker.
Angela, is that Sarah?
Yes, it is Sarah. Yes, put there for Angela. Yes.
That is terrible.
Mm. Yeah.
Which one? The arms in the sink or?
And the toddler or in the toddler bin in is the also. Bin. Let's start with the arms in the sink. And then we'll go
it
to
makes
the
you think
the
of a musical. You know, there's Fiddler on the Roof and there's Toddler in the Bin.
Toddler in the Bin, yeah.
Oh, but Fiddler in the Roof his... and a roofie in the Fiddler. Oh, he's gone 9-9.
You know when, adults wrote really amusingly pretend to drop their toddlers in the bin? If you see it, well, he was doing it as like a joke, but then he sort of he let go of one leg and this he went in. It was amazing.
Was it Michael Jackson?
Yeah. It was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It was a crazy day.
Was he carrying the child upside down?
Yeah. Well, he was dangling him, and it was a joke. Oh, I'm going to put you in the bin. And then accidentally relinquished one leg. So the toddler, he didn't go all the way in, but he was in the bin.
And you can't pick them back up because they've already gone bad once they've gone in.
Five second rule.
You just got to open a new one. So.
All right, at the end of that first round, the scores are... Tom, you're on 0 points. You didn't get any points that round. That's fine. You can come back. Sarah, you're on 2 points. Angela, ooh, you're on 4 points. And also on 4 points is Susie. Yay, it's close.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, this round is called We Are Family. Now, we all have family. Sometimes that is great. Sometimes that's not so great. And in this round, I think this one is pretty great because we get to meet the Yusufs. Now, when Susie was a young girl, she shared a room with her sister. But what happened in that room that drove her mum crazy? Was it A... her older sister refused to eat her school lunch, but would hide the uneaten sandwiches under the bed. Her mum couldn't figure out what the smell was, lifted up the bed to see what was now liquid sandwiches, completely covered in mould. So that's A. Or was it B? The room was quite damp, and mushrooms would grow from the carpet. Her mum continually tried to get rid of them. Unbeknownst to her, though, Susie's sister was watering the carpet, wanting them to grow. That's B. Or C, Susie lived near a creek and her sister saw a bunch of tadpoles in the water. She scooped them up in a container and took them home. Of course, they all turned into frogs and Susie's mum had to find them all and dispose of them. Now, one of these is true. You can ask Susie as many questions as you want to try and get the truth out of her. But bear in mind, she wants you to get this wrong, so she gets your point. You don't
I
have
want
to answer
all of them to be true.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer it all together. You can answer it individually. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
What kind of sandwiches? What kind of sandwiches were they?
We used to make sandwiches at the beginning of the week. They were always either peanut butter or Vegemite. So very boring. Because there's
preserves,
six of us.
Then. Wouldn't go mouldy as quickly as you think.
But, yeah, should have done that. Yeah. Mm. But she didn't. She did not eat very much at all.
But I don't think bread goes to liquid. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, it's not.
It depends how long you leave it.
How long are we talking?
And also, it's a very damp household.
Damp enough to grow mushrooms?
Yeah.
How did your sister water the mushrooms?
Do you know those sprays that they have? We call them selector sprays from like hairdressing salons. We would both do it. We would both stand over the carpet and spray them before we'd go to bed and then just like giggle at each other like they're going to come back again. And then my mum would come in. She would use like one of those like a pizza cutter and like cut along the carpet line and get all the mushrooms out. And we just kept spraying the carpet because we thought they were magic.
Well,
they weren't.
Well, they're
not
magic
mushrooms.
No wonder you were watering them.
Laughing
amazing
all the time.
Dreams.
Yeah.
Did
so this
you
is
ever
in,
eat any of the mushrooms?
This is Sydney as well, right, Susie? This is Sydney, so quite hot.
Yes, this is very humid Sydney. And this is also, we lived in a cul-de-sac near a telephone tower, so there's probably something going wrong. But
a cul-de-sac isn't naturally, a cul-de-sac isn't naturally like dank, is it?
Oh, but there's no airflow, Tom. Because it just goes to the end and then it stops.
Yeah.
I'm just painting a picture, Tom.
See, the Brits in this situation are thinking a cul-de-sac is actually usually very lovely and... civilized.
How long did the tadpoles take to turn into frogs?
I think just a couple of weeks, actually, because we would put them in Chinese food containers under our bed. And so there was about three or four the first week, but they all kind of became frogs at the same time.
How big were the frogs?
Just tiny, like the size of your thumb, the top segment of your thumb. I've never said that before.
That big.
How did your mum dispose of them?
She said she put them back in the garden, but I think she flushed them.
Can you flush frogs?
I don't think you should.
I don't think you should because they jump out, wouldn't they? They jump.
Yeah, I think a frog could hide under the not the lid, but the bit that the water comes out around the side.
Oh, and can you imagine the fright you would get? Imagine.
Yeah. I've got to change my diet. I've shat some frogs.
Reminds me of the film Magnolia. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, great film.
Yeah, one of my favourites.
Although I don't understand the ending though, but it's a great ending.
I think I looked it up. I think it's something about like, well, if all these weird things can happen in the world, why shouldn't it just one day rain frogs? That's But it's kind of, it's a bit of a leap.
That sounds like a proverb that was badly translated.
Susie, you were on board with the mushrooms and you were on board with the frogs. Were you on board with the sandwiches under the bed? Because I imagine that was quite unpleasant for you.
No, horrified. Absolutely horrified. Also, just wasting food was like a very chubby child. And the thought of wasting food just disgusted me.
How did your mum find out about the...
The smell.
She was just searching for the smell.
Yeah.
And you didn't tell her? You didn't think to tell her?
No. Also, because I was terrified of my older sister.
Oh, I see.
Oh, the plot thickens.
So it's not out of loyalty, it's out of fear.
Yeah.
So is it all girls in your family?
Yes,
Susie?
Six girls. Yes,
six
wow.
girls.
Wow!
And how many to a room? Two to a room, or did someone get their own room?
Alison, the eldest, the scary one, had her own room, and then the rest of us in this household. There was only five. We didn't have Anne until later, so it was two, and Alison had her own room.
Right. So your eldest sister was scary, and your sister in your room was scary.
No, the sister in my room is my favourite. She's not scary. She's still my favourite.
But she was the one with the sandwiches.
The eldest is the one with the sandwiches.
Oh, it wasn't your bedroom then?
No.
Do you include the frogs as part of the siblings as well, living there?
Only two of them, the ones with long hair.
So were the mushrooms in your room?
Yes.
Right.
My shared room with Terry.
And were the frogs in your room?
The frogs were in my room as well.
But the sandwiches were in your older sister's room?
I'm drawn more towards the frogs because I don't know, mushrooms, like you'd have to live in a very, I know in Sydney there are various climates. You grew up in Sydney, right, Susie?
Yes.
But I don't know how quickly mushrooms would grow in carpet. And I think if the carpet was to be growing mushrooms, I think you'd have maybe a tiled floor or
We weren't very well off, Tom. We weren't replacing carpets with tiles just because of a mushroom situation.
Susie, I had no idea this was a sad story. It was so poor. Right, we didn't have to put carpets. We just had mushrooms
to eat.
Sorry, if this is true, I'm going to feel terrible. I shouldn't make fun of it.
What do people think? Sarah, we'll start with you. A, B or C?
I feel like the sandwiches ring true. But that makes me think, because Susie has already displayed that she's a proficient liar. she hasn't flinched at any of these questions. I believe all of them. That's the problem. I agree with Tom. I'm gonna say C.
You're gonna say C? Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
That's the tadpoles. Angela.
So I don't think the sandwiches one is true. Just because I don't think that would turn into liquid. Because there's no... Well, I mean, the Marmite would probably draw out the salt. Or, you know, the salt would draw out water. But there's no water content in the bread.
I love this.
And then I also thought that you... Sarah... Oh, sorry. Susie. Have I been calling you Sarah? Sorry. Susie came up with the stuff with the mushrooms quite quickly. But also it was quite vivid with the frogs. I don't know if frogs are that small though.
As they grow, I'm sure.
I was more into the mushroom story.
You're gonna say B?
Yeah.
Alright. And Tom?
It's very tough actually, because as we know, Susie is a terrible liar. But I think that I first of all thought that tadpoles, the tadpoles are the frogs, but then I'm put off by the tiny size of them. I think they're bigger than that. And that, which would suggest to me it's a lie. Because if anything, as a child, a frog would seem bigger, not smaller. And and then the mushrooms, I was kind of drawn towards. And I think, no, you don't. Like, if there was enough moisture in the carpet to grow mushrooms, it would be wet under your feet and everybody would notice. It would be very difficult to hide. And so I'm drawn now to the one I thought was least likely, but I think the putrefied sandwiches in the bed. So that's what I'm going to go with.
You're going to go with A. The correct answer was B. It was the mushrooms, people. So Susie gets 2 points. Angela gets a point there. Yeah, so mushroom. Did she really cut them with a pizza cutter?
She used to cut the edges of the carpets because they used to grow between the carpet's edge and the skirting board.
Yep.
And Terry and I loved them because we grew up in stories of like Mae Gibbs and Enid Blyton. So like something growing out of the carpet, we're like, where will this go? we would just spray them because Mum would always spray our hair, brush our hair, and then put it back in the bathroom, and we would sneak into the bathroom and grab the spray. And it was under our beds as well, so you'd have to go under your bed to do them.
Oh, in my so I thought the mushrooms were like literally a carpet of mushrooms. I'm trying to think of like some sort of toadstool city of mushrooms that appeared every day, and I thought that doesn't sound right. But
did you think that we skipped into our bedroom and kind of
yes, and all the mushrooms are sort of red and
actually the reality is it's much bleaker, isn't it?
I read a story on Reddit which was a guy. This is why I thought it was real. Was a guy came into a sock, put it under his bed, and then like looked under his bed, and there was a mushroom growing from the sock.
That's horrendous.
So I was like, oh, maybe Susie's story is true. I'm
tired and also incredibly gay, and I heard that, the start of that, and when you said a guy came into a sock, I sort of heard it like when someone. Like he came into money, like someone had given. I completely misunderstood it for a second.
Oh no, it was a money shot, I guess.
God.
Also,
if only been wearing socks in that library.
Yeah. Also, some people had questions about do sandwiches go liquid. I can confirm they do.
Really, Josh?
Because when I was a child, I didn't eat my sandwiches. Mum would make me bread rolls, and I wouldn't eat them, and I'd put them in my front pocket of my school bag and just leave them there. And then I remember one day we had what was called a courtyard assembly, which was when something naughty happened at school and the teachers were like, everyone get to the courtyard, we're going to yell at you. And a boy behind me tried to steal something out of my bag, opened up the back pocket, put his hand in there and just liquid sandwich kind of went in his hand.
Oh.
Yeah. And no one ever stole from me again.
Yeah.
Also, I never liked eating my sandwiches as a child. Is that a thing? When you're a child, you don't like...
I just wanted to play at lunch. It was like, oh, this is... Food's getting into my playtime. I'd rather go and run around and do stuff.
Sandwiches are bad in your school bag, for half the day. Mine would always like slide apart as well.
Yeah.
I
ate all my sandwiches. We had a deep freezer, like something that looked like it came out of a corner store, and we would make like 50 rolls or sandwiches, and then you would put it frozen into your backpack, and because of the Sydney weather, it would defrost by the time you got to
lunch.
It
turned into a mushroom.
That's great.
You had there were 6 kids. Like, the people would have to be on top of it at the start of the week. Otherwise it'd be every morning. All right. At the end of the round, the scores are Tom, still on 0 points.
Still zero.
Sarah, 2 points. Angela, 5 points, but now in the lead on 6 points is Susie Youssef.
Yes.
All right. This round is called In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you'll say nah. A point if you get it correct, a point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So you can ask some questions, try and get the truth. So to Angela. Sarah's family love to share. So much so that if they've had a few drinks, her mum will happily recreate in elaborate detail the birth of Sarah for all to hear. Yeah or nah?
Yeah.
You gonna say yes straight away?
Oh, sorry. Do I need to?
if you think it's true, don't ask anything. You can just say yeah. You
well, know, um, Do you want to? Can you explain in elaborate detail what the story was?
Yes. Well, actually, they more often would tell the story of my brother's birth, because he was very premature, and my mum went into labour in the toilet of a pub. My dad tells it that my mum went off into the bathroom, and then the waiter came over to him and was like, "Oh, excuse me, is your wife pregnant?" And he was like, "Oh, yeah. How do you know?" And this woman was like, "Oh, because she's giving birth in the toilet." And my dad was like, "Okay, I'll finish my drink." So he likes to.
I
mean,
I feel like that's a yeah, but I want to hear more about what's your mum like when she's married? Is it your mum who retells the story?
My parents sort of double team it, to be honest.
Oh, double act.
Yeah.
Please don't say that again, Sarah.
Sorry. Yeah. But when they tell the story, it's mum. they tell it together. In fact, recently, I brought a girl to my parents' house, and my brother was not there, and they told the story of his birth without him being present, which was very strange. And I texted him during it and was like, "It's very, very odd, but they are talking about your birth again."
Do they still go to the pub? That same pub?
Well, no, not now, because nobody's allowed to go to the pub.
Oh, yeah, of course, sorry.
I don't actually know, to be honest. If they
that'd be kind of cute to put a pub in the toilet.
Stare down.
Or to name your brother after the pub as well. Is your brother called the King's Arms?
Sarah's brother's name is called Armitage Shanks.
I was just thinking about Armitage Shanks today. What a funny brand that is. I really wanted to mention...
It's a great name. Yeah.
Like, and I didn't even realise it would be an international brand, but obviously it is like of porcelain ware. Armitage Shanks. Who are they?
Sounds like a prison.
It sounds like a prison, doesn't it? Is there a prison that's very similar?
That's a bad prison you've gone to if it's Armitage Shanks.
It sounds like a name you could check into a hotel under. Like, hello.
Yeah.
One room for Armitage Shanks, please.
They'd be like, "Sure, Josh Earl, get inside."
Also, I think if you're using a fake name, you're not usually checking in on your own, are you? I thought fake names in hotels are for like affairs.
Josh doesn't really want to be disturbed. He just wants an evening's peace.
Just me.
Armitage Shanks.
Single room. Armitage Shanks, please.
If my wife calls. The toilet is there.
Armitage Shanks does sound like an alter ego for Armie Hammer as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Armie Hammer just wants to come into a sock and throw it under his bed in the security of a hotel.
What he loves to do.
What do you think, Angela? You think yeah or nah?
Yeah, I think I'm going to say yeah.
You are correct. There's a point there for Angela. Yay.
I lost the ability. I just had absolutely no concept of how to bluff that, so I just told the story.
I think that's the best way to play it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, point there for Angela. No, to Sarah now. Now, Tom's first job was pushing a dinner trolley at a golf course. He loved it and would give long, eloquent monologues about each dessert. The patrons hated him. So much so that one afternoon, an actual fight broke out in the club because Tom was taking too long with the desserts. Yeah or nah?
Can you remember any of the desserts on the trolley, Tom?
I think there were things like a tarte au citron,
and
lemon
bavoise. Do you recall the monologues that you used to do about these particular...
I think I did something like, would you care, ladies and gentlemen, maybe for a fruit salad or a lemon bavoise, maybe a tarte au citron, an apple flan, a rhubarb, a trifle, don't trifle with me, sir, maybe some cheese for the gentleman. And it would go on for so long that
it's hard to imagine why they would hate you.
That they would find it something of an interruption to their afternoon.
That's quite a lot of dessert for a golf course, isn't it?
Well, it was. It wasn't like the actual. It wasn't like the whole of the golf course. It was like in the clubhouse where they were serving the food. It was. I wasn't doing it on like the eighth hole on the green.
You were pushing a trolley through the bunkers.
Sorry to interrupt you.
But yeah, that does seem like quite a lot of dessert for a simple golf club, though, isn't it? I don't know how much. I'm not familiar with golf clubs' menus, but were the rest of the dishes that elaborate?
They were not. They were mainly, I think they were mainly chicken. And that was it.
Was that the name of the restaurant as well?
Mainly chicken.
If only it had been as imaginative as that.
What was it called?
It was called Sundridge Park Golf Club.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Why did they need a trolley?
Well, I mean, do I look strong?
Imagine Tom carrying 10 plates.
We've all been in restaurants. We know that's not how it works. You just look at a menu.
Well, these were different times, Sarah.
I can't work out whether or not he's playing me like a fiddle, or this is all fucking bullshit. But I'm just going to have to say no, I don't believe that this is true.
Sarah, you are incorrect. This is a
classic me story. Classic me story.
Well, I thought it could be. I could be, because I had a recollection of you doing something ridiculous as a child. But
that's my first job.
Just one thing, Tom. Just one ridiculous thing.
I thought if you were going to write
a lie story about Tom Allen, that would be the one you'd write.
Yeah.
I'm not surprising. Oh. Nobody needs surprises from me.
I'm very surprised at how good a lie you are. That looked like bullshit.
Yeah, I was
pretty impressed with that. I've realized that, well, because I had to convince you it was a lie.
I thought I was in control of that.
Yeah.
Well, you have to convince it. I knew it was true, of course. So I knew I had to make it sound like I was making it up. But not in too much of an overt
way. I should have done that with Angela, whereas I just sort of
rather than
told
just
the
basically
story.
Telling everyone else. But yeah, I worked it, and yeah. I they'd be
I
like,
said, "No, actually, here are the real facts."
I don't know.
I think I went straight away. It did feel like a very Sarah family story. Mm.
You were right in that, though. Yeah.
Shit.
Have I finally got some points?
You got a point. One point. You're on the board. Well, you can get another one here. Now, this one's to you, Tom. Now, to Tom, when Susie was 7 years old, she was desperate to have a dog, but her parents did not allow it. The neighbours did have one, however, so Susie stole it. The neighbours watched her walk into the backyard, take the dog, and leave. When they knocked on the door, Susie swore she had no idea where the dog was, and the neighbours said, well, if you do know, there is a $10 reward. Susie returned the dog, took the money, and the lesson she learnt was, crime actually pays. Yeah or nah?
Well, I'm erring on the side of yeah. I very much, by the way, enjoy the Australian yeah, and particularly the Australian nah, which...
Yeah, nah.
Nah, nah. My cousins.
The other week, I had some Americans on the show, and I taught them tar as a thank you.
Oh, tar. They never heard that.
They never heard tar. Tar and reckon. Two of them were from the south and say reckon. I reckon that's true.
Oh, yeah, they don't have that, do they? I've never heard them.
They don't have that, no.
I reckon. That's... Yeah. Oh, yeah. They miss out, don't they? If only they weren't making so much noise. Susie. What was the breed of the dog?
It was a black Labrador called Sultan.
How big was Sultan?
Sultan felt like a horse at the time. If I stood next to Sultan and put my arm around his neck, then I could kind of lean on him a little bit. Like I'm not very tall anyway, but you know.
You were the size of a Labrador. And what were your parents aware of this little racket you had going on there?
Oh yeah, because I had the dog in our backyard.
But they didn't want you to have a dog, so what did they say when you brought through Sultan?
I mean, they were distracted, Tom. There was a lot of kids running around. It was like, what's Susan got this week? A dog in the backyard. Last week, she's growing mushrooms, you know.
She's a magic mushroom farmer, and I've got a lot of bread rolls to put in that freezer.
And a dog thief.
And now she's stealing dogs. So, but presumably Sultan would have been making a lot of... They're quite boundy, aren't they, Labradors? So they would have been making quite a lot of mischief.
I remember him being quite a sleepy dog. Like, I think wanting Labradors, to lay out in the sun.
Yeah, Labradors after the age of 7 turn into, like, beanbags. They don't really do much.
Okay, mm. okay. Okay, that's a lovely description, a walking beanbag. Mm.
They're hard to get up from.
Yeah.
They stick to your back in the summer. Yeah.
You just have to roll on the floor and get up.
And you cut them open.
Yeah. Oh. Oh no, Sarah. Go, Sarah. Sarah. And did you so he's quite a big lump of a dog, but you are a tiny child who can put her arm around him. How did you lead him astray? I'm confused.
I just lured him out with food.
What food?
I would just cover my hands in peanut butter.
From the sandwiches that your sister left?
From the sandwiches, yeah. Just go under her bed, get the liquid sandwich, walk around to the neighbour's backyard, steal their dog. Classic childhood tale.
Classic. That's very inventive for a child, I would say. Of what, 7 years old?
Well, I was a very inventive child, Tom Ellen. Do you think that's hard to believe? Mm, yeah, that is actually. It is.
Well, no. So you've covered your hands in peanut butter. You've gone round to their yard. How have you got into their yard out of interest? Do you have an interconnecting gate?
Well, we lived in a cul-de-sac.
As established. I've seen cul-de-sacs in both this country and in Australia via the medium of Neighbours, the most famous cul-de-sac in the world.
Yes.
They had a side gate.
Going between each other's backyards?
Not between each other's, but their side gate was never locked. It was just like a latch that you could put your hand through the hole, flick it up and walk through.
Again, a very ingenious 6 or 7 year old to know about breaking and entering. And so you crept into your next door neighbour's house. What were their names again?
Our next door neighbours were the Sullivans.
The Sullivans, and they had a dog called Sultan.
Called Sultan. Sultan Sullivan.
Sultan Sullivan. And so you went over to Sultan Sullivan's house. You broke into their garden using your own flimsy, childish wrists. And
they were quite strong from pumping selector sprays full of water.
Of course, that will build up. Yeah. That will build up.
Yeah, it will actually. That's the best motion for it.
So yeah, they do things like that. Do that. I'm saying that. I feel like for adults they have things. Anyway, you see the dog. You're not scared of the dog. The dog, which is the same size as you, almost like a horse to you. You've already described it as. You then hold your hand out to this horse dog, covered in peanut butter, which you know it loves to eat.
I didn't have to hold it out because it smelt it and would just start licking my hand straight away.
Your hand that had just come through the gate, it immediately started licking it. It then followed you?
Yep.
And so then you kept it in your back garden. And when Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan, did they have first names?
Oh, for the life of me, I cannot remember. Because I think I called them Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan my whole childhood.
Really? Because you grew up in Neighbour? With Mrs. Mangle on the other side. And so Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan, when they came a knocking looking for their dog Sultan, their beloved Labrador, did Sultan not bark? Dogs love to bark at the door.
I honestly just remember him being a very sleepy dog who would spend a lot of time outside just laying down in the sun.
So he came into your garden in the sultry Sydney sun, lay out in it, famously mild, and then when his actual owners came by, he didn't stir, and they didn't notice that he was there. And then,
I mean, the jig was up. They knew he was there. I knew that they knew he was there. I was just hoping that they would not take him back.
What did Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan do for a living?
He owned a butcher, and she worked in the front. So he was in the back room, and she worked at the counter.
The same.
This is like an episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
It is. I mean, I've gone in far too deep on this. Also, I kept being Catherine Kim in this. Yeah,
I'm looking at you, Tom. You should play Poirot, or you should be in a show where you are the detective.
And
end of every episode, you give this big soliloquy about just recapping everything, and then yeah.
Fit as a butcher's dog, as the expression always goes. Well, well.
What do you think, Tom? Yes or
sorry,
no?
I've dragged it out. It's, I've just been quite intrigued by. It's been quite fun. For me, not for anybody else. But I would say this is no.
Tom, you are correct. This is not a true story. Ah,
I knew it. Of course you wouldn't call them Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan.
I called my neighbours Mr. and Mrs. Norton and Mr. and Mrs. Flight. Still do if I see them.
polite.
I can't remember their names.
Oh, next door neighbours. But did they? And it was to be honest, it was being a small child luring a massive Labrador away from its home, and it not running off. That was, I think, what did it for me.
But the dog was true, right? You did have a neighbour, and you weren't allowed to have a dog.
No, we had a dog very briefly called Apollo, but. Yeah, he didn't last very long in our house. Dad gave him back to the vet. But there was a next door neighbour's dog. There was the next door neighbours did have a dog called Sultan, and I did love him. And there are lots of photos of me hugging that dog's neck as a child. I completely loved him, but no, I never stole him.
Never nicked that dog.
Oh.
Never nicked that dog.
There's still time. All right, to Susie now. Angela won a comedy award, and with that award, she won a large sum of money, which she used to fly to Barcelona to meet a man she had never met, but had chatted to online. She loved this man until she didn't, which just happened to be before they actually met. So Angela used her money to fly to Barcelona to break a man's heart. Yeah or nah?
I think yeah.
You don't want to ask any questions.
Well, I really misunderstood this.
I just wanted to say...
All right. You're going to say yeah?
I just want to say that was my gut instinct. Also because I know Angela has won awards.
And broken
or
his heart.
At least she should... If you haven't won awards, you should, Angela. Now I'm doubting everything. But my gut instinct was yes.
You're going to say yes?
I'm going to say yes.
Susie, you are correct. That is a true story. Yes.
No questions asked.
Angela. Yes.
Tell us.
So I won a comedy award for this show I did, which was when I fell in love with a man on the internet and ended up in prison in the UK and got deported. And then I used the money from that show to meet another man from the internet. And I don't know how to. Yeah, my best friend was like, "Oh, you should meet my friend. I think you'd really like him." But he lives in Barcelona, and I was like, "Well, I've got money. I could go and see him." And I went to, and it was actually fine. He wasn't a creep. We were the same age, which was good. I should say, my ex-husband was 30 years older than me. So, yeah. Oh, I'm raising more questions.
You're so not clearing questions. Anything up at all.
What did the man in Barcelona do?
He's a music professor or lecturer, so he teaches music composition.
And did something happen to make you fall out of love with him, or it just was that thing like, oh, this is not exciting anymore?
Oh, no, we didn't fall out of love, but we realised that we were both... Oh, we tried to sleep together, but it felt like masturbation. I was like, oh, we're too alike.
Yeah.
It's raised more questions.
And you don't like masturbation?
Oh, it's just, if I'm going to sleep with someone, I don't want it to feel like I'm sleeping with myself.
I'd quite like that.
And I'm so sorry you were in prison, like,
for two.
Yeah, fair.
By the way, that was the detail that stuck out for me.
Sorry, that was a minor detail for
me. I was fixated on the masturbation bit.
This is a whole show.
Can I just say the title? There's a whole show with this.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you still in touch?
With my ex-husband?
With the people in prison?
With the musician.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, no, my ex-husband after the prison thing was like, maybe we shouldn't.
Was the prison called Armitage Shanks?
Oh, Armitage Shanks. No. I just got a message from the music tech that did the show, and he said, oh, Rose West has got the vaccine because she was part of the show. I didn't know who she was, and I kept saying she was my best friend because everyone kept saying she was famous. And
so this is Rose from Rose and Fred West, who...
Yeah.
From Rose and Fred West.
Yeah. The famous
duo. Wonderful double act, yeah.
So what, she's got the vaccine. When was this happening?
Yeah, I just got a message today from... So apparently she's got the vaccine today. And I
don't think she needs to be vaccinated anymore. I think
she needs to be put down.
I think she's beyond vaccination, I think.
She was dead. Yeah.
She's not dead, she's alive.
Angela, do you regret spending the money on that?
Oh, no. The first day I arrived there, we went to a fruit stall and I found these grapes and they were really good grapes. And then I ate so much of them, and when I came back, I was diabetic.
Oh my goodness.
That's a lot of
rage. Just to clarify, Rose West is not dead, but she's had quite a bad reaction to the COVID vaccine.
Mm. Oh no.
Oh.
Not Rose. Not Angela's best friend.
No. Yeah, she wasn't my
prison,
best friend.
What prison were you in?
I was in H&P Bronzefield, which had Rose West at the time.
No way.
But you didn't cross paths.
No, never. I was, but it was weird. I was put in a lifers ward.
For how long?
I was only there for 2 months.
Only 2 months?
Christ.
Yeah. I made a lot of good friends, though. Like, they were very friendly. I think, like, lifers ward was a lot more chilled then.
Is it the book called Friends for Life?
Friends for Life. Yeah, maybe.
But this is your show. It's called Down the Rabbit Hole. It's like there'll be a chance for people to see it, right? Like there's not?
No.
Turn it into a book then.
Please turn it into a book.
Yeah.
I just need to say that I tried to impress Mate's husband by saying I was best friends with Rose West, and then he said, you know, she's a serial killer. And I was like, oh, fuck. No, I thought she was, like, famous. I was 19. I just thought she was, you know, like a celebrity, like Paris.
British people don't just imprison people for being famous.
I didn't know she was like a... Yeah, that's true. I should have thought of that.
It's usually the opposite. They're famous and they avoid prison.
Mm. Yeah, they're infamous. Yeah, that's true.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Tom, you're on 2 points. Sarah, you're on 2 points. Angela, you're on 6 points, but in the lead on 7 points, it's Susie Yusuf.
I'm in shock. I can't believe we've touched on this subject so late in the game. This is all I want to talk about for the rest of my life.
I'm so fascinated.
Well, it's up to you, Angela. If you want to talk about it, you can talk about it.
Yeah, sure. Oh, okay, yeah. I just felt bad because it's like come in quite late and it's like, well, that's the show.
No, it's just I knew this story in the research, but when, like, for the listeners, I send off a little, like, questionnaire, and this story wasn't included in the questionnaire, so I was like, oh, she doesn't want to talk about it. But if you want to talk about it, I'm very happy.
I'm fine to talk about it. I married I was 16 or 17 when I was on the internet, and I was chatting to this 46-year-old man from the UK, and I'd made a plan to run away from my family to meet him, and then I married him, and I think things just fell apart, you know, like it was kind of, I left my family and everything. And then his dad died, which isn't a shock because his dad was 91. But when we went to go and collect his things from his dad's house, one of the items was an engagement photo of his ex-wife. And that became like, that ate me up inside. So I attacked him by pushing the frame of the photograph over his head.
Like in a cartoon?
Like, really. But, yeah, no, I didn't do it fast. I did it really slowly because I didn't want to hurt him or anything. I just wanted to prove a point.
Sorry, what was the point?
The point was, like, don't bring your ex-wife's photo home, I guess.
Yeah, unless you want to wear it like a necklace.
Yeah. And then the metal spoke that holds the glass in kind of scratched his neck, and then I dared him to call the police. And then he didn't, so I called the police. And then I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Then I hung up, and the police came, and then I got arrested. And then I was like, I was just a bratty 19-year-old getting arrested, and I kind of made it worse for myself. Yeah, this show won a comedy award, but it's coming across as trauma right now. But
how long were you? What was your sentence?
Because this is in the UK and you're from New Zealand. So
yes,
was there any, like, were they just going to send you back to New Zealand?
No. So I was on a marriage visa, and it's such a legal drama, but I was in prison for 2 months waiting to get sentenced, so I was on remand, and then I was sentenced to be in a bail hostel for 3 years, and then I was eventually removed back to New Zealand. Yeah.
I'm going to say nah. This is quite...
I'm so sorry, this is such a...
It just makes my dessert trolley story really pale into insignificance.
But it's so strange.
Sound like shit.
Oh, I started doing comedy because I was just like, I think I felt kind of weird. I worked as a secretary. I worked as a legal secretary because I was like, I've got the experience of courts.
Have you ever worked at a court before? You're like,
No, it's and the only law that I hadn't been in, which was corporate law, but finance. And I got divorced as well. He divorced me, so I was like, I know divorce lawyers.
I would read this book.
Mm. Yeah.
It's an extraordinary story.
That's what the show was based on. And it was kind of weird. I started getting TV appearances in New Zealand. I was like, oh, fuck, people don't know this story, so I better tell it. And that's why that show came out.
Next round.
Yeah. So sorry. You can cut this out too as well, Josh. No,
this is the most interesting thing of the whole podcast.
Hey, Josh, hang on. The stuff about the sandwiches?
I'd love to see this as a TV drama, but the scene where you slowly lower the picture onto your husband's head would be so disappointing, wouldn't it? As a climactic moment.
Oh, so there is a film coming out. I am writing a film about it. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I think you should call it Framed.
That was one of the... Yeah, we were thinking about what to call it, and Framed did come up.
Okay. You've been framed.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. There'll be next no copyright round. Issues. Next round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. You four. You have to buzz in and tell me who you think it's about. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points.
Is it us four? Right. Just us four. The
us
answer.
Four. You four. Yep, you four. I'm not included. Just you four.
Yeah, Josh knows the answers.
Yes. Question one. Who here has never had a cup of tea? Who here told me they've never drunk a cup of tea?
Angela.
Yes, Angela.
Susie.
No,
Susie.
It's Tom Allen. Tom Allen has never drunk a cup of tea.
What?
Don't like tea.
You work on Bake Off.
I know, it's not called Tea Off. That would be a golf thing.
You still wouldn't be drinking tea. You'd be doing
the
desserts.
Do you drink coffee, Tom? Do you drink any hot drinks?
I do drink coffee, yeah.
Okay. Because I always find it weird when I meet adults who don't drink any hot drinks.
Oh, yeah. That would be, or I'm full of admiration for anybody who doesn't drink caffeine. But I do.
Yeah.
I don't anymore.
Oh, you're one of those people, Susie. Do you feel good for it?
Yeah. I don't have a choice. It's a migraine trigger for me, and it's so boring. Please do the next question.
All right, next question. Who at 15 stole the uniform of where they worked because they thought they looked great in it?
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Angela.
You are correct. Yes, it was Angela.
But you know about her life of crime now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually stole it and role played with it in my ex husband's house.
What was the place?
Oh, it was like Pack and Save, which is like a really shitty supermarket.
Next question. Who would like it known they are not sad, they just have sad resting face?
Angela.
Yes, Angela.
Sarah.
You are correct, yes, it was Sarah, yes.
No offense.
No, I do.
You do.
Yeah, see?
Oh.
That was me, just completely relaxed.
Sarah, I had someone on Instagram, I posted a photo of myself and someone wrote very sad eyes. And it was like a happy photo. And I'm like, it shook me. I still haven't been, every time I post a photo of myself, I'm like, how are my eyes looking? Oh yeah, they look quite sad sometimes.
Oh, maybe you do have slightly
sad eyes, Josh. Hang on, look happy. Smile at us.
Yeah,
sad eyes.
That's what I said to Susie when I missed the podcast last week. I was like, I feel worse because of Josh's. I think I said innocent face, but I meant sad eyes.
I saw a selfie post and he looked really sad. Oh no. Question four: Who once had a job where on their very first day it was pizza and massage day, and they still think it's the best job they've ever had?
Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I think that was Susie.
You are correct. That was Susie. Yeah,
I bet it was the project as well. The project.
No. It was a print. It was a printing company, and it was like, it's just a temp job. I was only there for 2 weeks, but the day that I arrived was pizza and massage day.
At the same time, like massaging pizza into each other.
Yeah. Is pizza and massage day a traditional day? Like, is that a?
Never heard of it before, and I've never had a job like it since.
It should amazing. Be. We should get rid of like Shrove Tuesday or like Pancake Day and have Pizza and Massage Day.
I take
pizza over pancakes.
Yeah. Or in this country, we have massive debate about Australia Day, which I'm like, get rid of it.
Mm.
Introduce Pizza and Massage Day. I reckon you get more than 50% of the people say, yeah, that's good.
Do you have Steak and Blowjob Day?
Oh. also known as Christmas.
Question 5. Who says they can smell snot? They can Tom. Smell snot. Yes, Tom.
Angela, definitely.
You are correct, yes.
Oh, wow.
No question.
So, Angela, can you smell in your own nose? Is that what you think?
Yeah,
you can do?
I can. I don't smell other people's snot. That's weird. I just smell my own.
I can sort of smell.
It's not that I'm trying to smell it. It's just that I'm aware of it.
That it's in your nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the one thing you can't escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question. Smell who here? Snot.
It's a different kind of
person. Who here befriended Ben Elton? Who befriended Ben Elton?
Angela. I'm going to guess Tom.
No, it was Sarah.
Oh, damn it.
I did meet him once, but I wouldn't say we're friends.
How did you meet him, Sarah?
I was a runner a few years ago on Upstart Crow. And his agent was very rude to me in front of
him. Did you bond over that?
Well, so I'd sort of gotten on well with him throughout the series. We talked about stand-up quite a lot. I told him that I was interested in stand-up and things, so we talked about that. And then on the last day, I'd finished my shift, and they said, oh, you can go and join the rap party. And we'd done it sort of staggered. So some people were still working, but I wasn't still working, and I was sat just sort of chatting to a few people, and Ben was the other side of the room talking to some other people. And this woman who stood with him beckoned me over, and I walked over, and she just pointed at his glass and went, Ben's glass is empty. And I said, I'm technically off the clock, but I'll help you out. And I took his glass out of his hand, and she grabbed my wrist and said, well, I tell you something, get back on the clock.
Was it a metaphorical thing? Was she like, his glass is empty, and you were like, I'll befriend him?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'll fill up his cup. And so I hadn't particularly enjoyed the experience of being a runner. I think anyone who talks about being a runner is generally very unpleasant. I got him a drink, and then I left because I thought, you know what, fuck this. I've very much had enough of being treated like this. And I got on the tube at Waterloo, got off the tube near my flat. I'd been on for about half an hour. And by the time I got signal again, I had a voicemail, and it was Ben Elton. And he was apologising to me for the way his agent had talked to me and said, that's not how we do things. That's not how I would want anyone to talk to anyone. I really, really apologise. And he said, I'll give you a ring back tomorrow and just make sure you're okay. Very nice man. It wasn't his agent. It was a different. It was somebody who worked for his agency. I should say it wasn't his specific agent.
If you saw me
Googling.
Looking down, I was just Googling who that was.
Yeah, I thought you might be dumb. No, I think it was an agent for one of the things he does, but it wasn't his sort of main agent, I should stress.
That sounded awful.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about
that. No.
But nice of him. Nice of him to own up to it.
And then he sent me a dick pic.
So aggressive to grab someone's wrist as well.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I kind of like the line. I do like the line, though, like, get back on the clock. I'm like, that's good writing.
Mm.
He'd written
the script for that scene, actually. Yeah.
Next question. Who here once absentmindedly left their friend at a service station in another country?
Angela.
I heard Angela first.
Susie.
Yes, you are correct. It was the point there for Susie. Oh, for Angela. Yes.
What country?
Italy.
Such a lovely sentence.
It was one of those two of us.
I don't know why we all gasped at Italy.
Italy.
No. Of all places.
And when was this, Susie?
This was in 2007.
Not related to
the sun-dried tomato incident.
No.
They were just tomatoes when she left them at that service station.
Did they have it? Did they have a phone with international roaming? Could they call you and tell you?
It was 2007, Josh.
I know, but like.
I think she had like a little Nokia or something.
Yeah.
That was, I don't think she had international, like not, I think it was just her Australian card, like SIM card that she racked up a bill of like $3,000. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah, for one call.
How many people were you with?
Yeah. There was like 30 of us on a tour bus. And it was one of those things where it was like, you've got 5 minutes, go to the toilet, buy your baguettes or your focaccias or whatever, and then come back onto the bus. And
I love how you went with like the stereotypical bread of whatever country you're from.
You buy your carbs, get back on the bus. And yeah, she was always running late and we were really tired. It was towards the end of the tour. And she kind of had all of her stuff stacked up on her chair, on her seat. So it was like a suitcase and a towel. And we just assumed she was under all of it and didn't really notice until about like a couple of Ks down the Autobahn. And then we had to
Autobahn? You went to Germany?
Well, it was between, well, whatever it was. What's the highway in Italy called?
I can't remember. I don't even know. I was just being facetious.
It's a true story, Tom.
It's not true at all. Autobahns are in Germany. I know they're called Autobahns in Germany because of the Kraftwerk song. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And because of focaccia and baguettes.
Autobahn was like they sold bikes.
I think they are in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
In Australia, it's the, car shop. All right. Who here had a home economics teacher that pronounced sandwiches as sandwiches with a G instead of a D? Sandwiches.
Susie.
Yes, Susie.
Tom Allen.
It was Tom Allen, yes. Point there for Tom. Sandwiches. Susie, yes. Sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Sandwiches.
Also Ronnie Cheng pronounces it sandwiches.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He has a hot... He had a whole routine about...
Oh, about sensible sandwich.
Sensible sandwich. And then he say, that's how I say sandwich. He goes, this is my third language. Get used to it. Yeah.
Well, I don't think she was speaking in a third language, but she did say sandwiches. Year seven, get out your sandwich project. Because it was sort of subject where we'd all mess around.
Yeah.
And so, well, I take it very seriously, as has played out for me. But for the other people, that they didn't care about it, and they thought it was just another opportunity to make fun of a poor home economics teacher. Food tech, we call it actually here. Do you call it food tech?
We call it food tech.
Yeah, same.
Mm. Yeah, food tech. I don't know why. I kind of liked home ec or even cookery.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind
it. We called it home ec. Yep. All right. Next question: who here once ruined a whole busload of people's holiday because of this person and their friends? So this person ruined a whole busload of people's holiday because the way their friends and them were acting.
Susie.
Yes, Susie.
Sarah Keyworth scratched her eye. Yeah,
you are. Well,
no, I do have an. That's true. An itch in my eye. It's an itch. But that is true.
What were you doing on the bus, Sarah? What did you do?
Well, I didn't really do anything.
That's what they all say.
It wasn't me.
Angela was bunking with a whole bunch of people who didn't do anything. It wasn't them.
We'd got out and got very drunk the night before. And one of my friends didn't drink very much very often. And she decided she wanted to keep up with us. And she got so drunk. We'd booked to go to a water park. We were about 18, and we'd booked specifically to go to a water park. So this whole coach was going to a water park, and my friend Emily was vomiting the entire way, and we had to pull over. So all these children waiting to go to the water park had to watch an 18-year-old girl throw up for about 45 minutes before they were allowed to go in. And then we went to the water park, and she didn't go on any slides.
That's the saddest part of it all.
Yeah.
In the theme of vomiting in this show.
Yeah, it's good. And our last question for the game.
But we didn't even leave her at the side of the road, Susie.
Yeah.
I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit, Sarah Keyworth.
Who here once had Joan Collins tell them they had a bit of toilet paper stuck on their shoe?
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Susie.
No, that was Tom Allen there.
Oh, point off, Sarah. Maybe.
I did my awkward face, my wandering face, and you fell for it.
You were very good. I was looking at your face, Tom. You were very good.
Well, I thought that was a bluff. I thought that was a bluff. Fuck's sake.
That's my only interaction with Jen Collins.
So at the end of the game, the scores are Sarah Keyworth, 2 points. Tom Allen, 4 points.
Wow.
Angela Dravid, 6 points, but our winner on 9 points, it's Susie Youssef.
Thank you so much. Gosh, this is so nice.
Well done, Susie. Now, because you win, Susie, you can promote whatever you want to promote first. Go for it.
I can't wait to read Tom Allen's book. That's all I really want to say.
Oh, that's very a nice thing to say.
Oh. I don't have anything good coming up, so don't worry about it.
All right.
Oh, that's the saddest thing I've heard. I've nothing.
Well, no, you've got something very good coming up, but we can't talk about it. That's what you're doing now.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Okay. For the listener, I'll say that Susie's recording in Tasmania. You'll know what that means. Okay. Tom, where can people find you?
They can find me right here. If they choose to look, then they'll find me. Whenever you search me out, that is where I'm. I've got a book out, and you can buy it in Australia and New Zealand. We can tell you the names of the shops it's available in. It's Booktopia or Mighty Ape.
What's the book called?
It's called No Shame, and it's about me being an eccentric living in suburbia as a child.
Is the golf story in there? The golf cart?
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. Great. But I didn't mean to turn this whole evening into a promo for my book. No. Only you'd read it, Sarah.
There's a little foreword by Rose West.
She was more than a little foreword.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Christ.
Angela, where can people find you?
On Twitter, I guess.
Yep. Very funny.
And in Auckland. All right.
And Sarah, where can people find you?
Well, I have a radio show on BBC Radio. It's called Are You a Boy or a Girl? There's that. If you can't get it in Australia, sorry.
Is it BBC 2?
BBC Radio 4.
Oh, Radio 4, cool.
Yeah.
I want that to be your catchphrase, Sarah. If you can't get it, sorry.
Sorry.
I'd love to say that after jokes, actually.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, sorry.
Hey, thank you all so much for doing this. It was so much fun. Listeners, Comedy Festival tickets are on sale, so go to joshua.com.au, get a season pass for the podcast, or come and see me and Ben Lomas do a split show. It's called Apparently, because we're not sure if it's going to go ahead. Anyway, that's been lots of fun. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Oh, this has been so fun. So lovely to see everybody.
Well, what an episode that was. How funny was Angela's story? And now we're in the parents' corner. The dad's in the shed.
Parents in the corner. Parents in the corner.
Yes.
Parents in the corner. That was a great ep, Josh. I loved every second of it.
I should show you the edit. It fucking took me ages. Hey, so thank you for staying around, listeners. Now, this is Ben Lomas.
Hi. G'day. Hey. Comedy. Hey. Great.
This is a couple of dads. Apparently some dads.
Couple of dads who somehow found 5 minutes to actually spend time together, which is a rarity.
It's been good. Now, we didn't do it last week because of lockdown, even though we're doing this over Zoom now, but lockdown threw us into a tailspin. I had both kids at home and also editing, and my wife, Beck, was doing music classes from the lounge room, so we had to be in rooms being quiet, and the kids were allowed to argue or fight, and so they knew if they asked me anything, yep, you can get it straight away because I can't have you making noise.
Well, out of curiosity, because when they did announce the lockdown, did you go pick up the kids and everyone was in shock? Were you doing that?
I wasn't in shock. I could see it coming, but it was everyone was like, oh, I guess we're going into lockdown. Hopefully, it's only 5 days. Who knows?
There was one mum crying, going, "Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it."
I've been very lucky. This whole lockdown, I've had good support and, like, you know, I've been pretty, not blasé about it, but like...
You didn't get fat. That's the thing I hate
most. I got
most.
Fitter, if anything.
Yeah, fuck you. How about a big cover fuck you?
But there were a lot of people who, like, this has really brought up some emotions that I didn't deal with after the last, like, lockdown. And I was like, all right, okay, but it's hopefully only 5 days. I mean, I had a bunch of work cancelled. I was meant to be in Newcastle.
Yeah, I was the same. But also, for me, it was different because I'd built a sauna for the third lockdown. So I was just sitting in my sauna going, hey, give it a couple more weeks. I'm fine. I'm fine, people.
Well, the thing I was worried about, and this is to do with my kid, because my eldest boy, Oliver, was about to go to Canberra for a camp. So they had a full week camp. And they were leaving Monday of this week that this episode came out, and we were like really going, are they going to be allowed in? Are they like, and Beck was worried going, what happens if there's an outbreak when they're there? And I said, they'll let a busload of school kids come in. If anyone's going to cross the border, they'll let a busload of school kids cross the border. He's there, okay? He's in Canberra, is what I'm saying. Like, I sent him away. He's like, but it's the longest he's ever been away from his mum. Like, so I've been away for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time before, but Beck's only ever spent 1 or 2 nights away from him. Like,
That's pretty full on. And did he cry?
He didn't cry. He was saying he was a bit nervous, and you know, emotions run high, and he had short temper, and it's just him dealing with the nerves. But the school's doing all these photos of the kids, and Beck is like, "Oh, he looks pretty sad in them." I'm like, "He's in Canberra. He's fucking bored. That's what it is. He's at the Parliament House. He's 9 years old. Is that he gives a shit about Parliament House?"
It's so funny because that won't change when he grows up and becomes a dad himself. Because I'll tell you what, when my wife goes away, my son goes, "Why are you so sad?"
So the other thing is, because Oliver's away, Henry's here on his own and just like
bored,
but also ruling the roost. It's like, "Hey, can we get burgers for dinner tonight? Hey, can we go get churros?" Like, I'm like, "Oh, mate." But yesterday he had a bit of a snotty nose, so we're like, we better keep him home, just because he's not sick. It's just that in the climate, you can't send your kid to school.
Oh, absolutely. And when you do see a mum drop off a kid like we had the other day with what sounds like whooping cough, you're like, "You've got balls. You've got massive balls to just shove a kid in a class of 30 with whooping cough. Well done. I don't know who you are. You're clearly a stressed parent, but congratulations on just throwing that one in the mix. Well done."
Well, as I was saying, Ben, we kept him home for one day. He still had the snotty nose today. He's at school now. Well, I can't do 2 days of it.
But it's so funny because then one gets jealous of the other. So I've got Teo today, and it's just me and him. And I just wanted to do all these errands. It's just like Bunnings, it's Northland, it's everywhere. And he's just had food on the go. And then when he got home, he's like, "I cannot wait to tell my sister everything I've had." He's just reveling it. I was like, "What do you mean?" And he started naming. I was like, "Oh man, I just gave him whatever he wanted all day long, just because he'd just stay along for the ride. Let's go.
All right, so we're only, 5 weeks away from apparently opening up?
We've been practicing our songs.
Yep. The dance moves are coming along very well. Thank you, everyone who's bought tickets so far.
Yeah, and quite a few.
Yeah, and thanks, everyone who took advantage of those 24 for 24 hours ones, which, massive saving of $1.
I know. People were running to the laptop. "I've got to do it now. With the booking cost, it's saving actually 70 cents. So,
Red 61, reaping the rewards from apparently.
It's amazing when marketing just from the past really doesn't reflect today.
Also, we put photos out, and I did a little thing, Ben. I did a little funny thing where I cropped your head out of it because I couldn't.
It was classic.
It couldn't fit in.
Look, it's comedy's just not on the stage. It's also in Photoshop. Okay, people need to know this. It's across platforms.
But the thing was, so in all the photos, which you won't see because we cropped out, I'm on my tiptoes. I'm on my tiptoes, or as Mike Goldstein will say, tippy toes.
Tippy toes. Yeah.
But I've noticed from doing that, I've been doing that in photos more often now. So I did the show, The Snortcast, which is over in St Kilda, run by Diana Nguyen. Very funny. Like, she's very funny. But she had a photo afterwards, and I thought, "Oh, they'll cut the legs off this photo. It'll just be from waist up." Nah. So there I am next to Sonia Dioro on my tiptoes like a fucking idiot going, "Oh, come on, Diana. Like, this is meant to be like, you cut the feet out. Like, I don't want to be standing looking in heels."
I saw that photo. You're in a triangle shape. So you did your best ability to be in the middle and at the back. So you could even look taller. But again, you didn't pull up. For a fact, it is tippy toes. No, it's never tiptoes. Never heard of tiptoes. That's the first time I've heard of it. I was tippy like, toes. Gee. And then also when you said it, I was just like, yeah, Mike's a bit of a dickhead. No, it's tippy toes. It's always been tippy toes. You stand on your tippy toes.
If you're a child, you can say tippy toes. You get to 13, it's like, all right, mate, it's your tips of your toes. tip toes.
But anyway, anyone who's stepping on their tippy toes as an adult should really look at themselves.
Well, all of this and more in the show, apparently. More. Make sure you get your tickets, people.
Yeah, and also, but also, just get them now. It's a slightly smaller venue. We are going to fuck around, so come for a laugh. It's not like I've been working very hard to make sure my middle, start, and end just seamlessly fits together. I'll be asking you a lot of questions.
I think it's going to be. I'm so looking forward to it, and I cannot wait for the fuck around. I mean, we're both going to do a good chunk of stand up, and then the end.
Totally, and then we're just going to fuck around.
Like a podcast, and we'll fuck around. So it's only going to be good if the audience are there. Otherwise, it's me, you, and our tech. If there's a tech, who knows?
Is there a tech? So small. Last time I picked, you're my tech, and I'm your tech.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks for doing this, Benny. I'll see you next week.
See you next corner. Oh, no, Dad's corner. Oh, do this jingle. Dad's corner, Dad's corner, Dad's corner, Dad's corner.
Dad's corner.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.